This is the People Impact Podcast, and we are in transition. In the coming weeks, we have some exciting announcements to share with you, so stay tuned. In the meantime, we remain committed and passionate about having a positive impact on the way people lead and work together, and we are continuing the conversation. Today's conversation, I expect, will be a really interesting and exciting one, and is for you if you are interested in expanding your perspective on the humans you work with and on yourself as a human being. Today, it is just myself, Lisa Dempsey, but I am here with a very special guest, Joshua Berry. Welcome, Joshua. So happy to have you here.
Thank you, Lisa. I'm excited to be with you today.
I would love if you could tell our listeners just a little bit more about yourself.
Sure, I'd be happy to. Hello, listeners. My name is Joshua. I am a father of four. I live in Nebraska in the middle of the United States, though moved around a ton as a kid. Had a number of things in my life that have defined kind of where I'm at today. Chief among those is marrying my high school sweetheart, getting to be involved in human resources consulting with businesses around the world for over a decade, and then another decade working with startup companies and then co-founding my own company back in 2015, where we get to help big and small companies figure out the how and why they work. That has also led me to writing a book, which I think was one of the original reasons why we got connected back in the day. So that book, Dare to Be Naive, has been a fun and interesting journey to see how that's received out in the world as people really question, do I actually want to be more naive or not?
So yeah, yeah. It sounds scary, doesn't it? Ooh, is that really what I want?
Exactly.
Yeah. But I love that idea of daring to be naive, daring to sort of put on that childlike curiosity and go out to the world and see what's happening, right?
Absolutely. It's one of those things that we're told, at least as we get into school and there's a right way to do things or even a lot of work, that, you know, maybe we need to set that aside and we have to follow kind of what the mainstream tells us to do. I know I was definitely a kid growing up who was a people pleaser and tried to figure out what the teachers and the administrators and everybody needed. And so that meant following what the right way was and was rewarded a lot for that in life. And as I start to think about then what we're now asked to do as our company, oftentimes we're being asked to go into organizations and help them be more curious and creative again and recapture all that stuff that we kind of trained out of them, or I trained out of myself all those years back in school.
Yeah. It's amazing, isn't it? How our society, how our systems are really set up to train a lot of that natural curiosity, natural naivete out of us.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So at least what I've advocated for and what seems to land the best with people is it's trying to come back to the right balance, right? Mm-hmm. How can you use your rational mind, but understand you don't need to be the servant, right, of that rational mind? It can be a useful tool alongside all these other tools that you have, like intuition and emotional intelligence and all of those other great things that we have.
Yeah, all of that greater body of wisdom that sits mm-hmm. out of what this little tiny organ that lives between our ears is constantly barking and shouting at us, right?
Absolutely.
Well, I think one of the things that you do a lot of work in as well is this space of limiting beliefs.
Yeah, and it really stems from that, right? When we allow the brain to be the driver of everything, we oftentimes then allow those voices to be the only truth that we hear, right? I think back to when I was out of school and in my first job, I was constantly being rewarded for helping grow clients bigger and grow them faster and all of those things that were in the best benefit for our company. And it was a great mission. So it was easy to get behind it. You know, it was the vision of the work I was doing was under the auspice of what would the world be like if everybody did what they were good at and enjoyed. And I thought, cool, like I can, when I grow this business, I'm expanding this great mission and vision. And yet a belief unchecked can sometimes then become a limiting belief, because I then started to realize later in my life, even as I was growing through that, that I probably would have made different decisions if I would have stopped and paused. And as you said, listened to the other forms of wisdom that I might have and really think through some of those things.
Yeah. What were some of the limiting beliefs that you recognize you held at different times?
Oh boy.
In your growth, yeah. Where to begin? I know my list is very long.
You know, a big one early on was that absolutely put everybody else first. And what's interesting is I find most limiting beliefs, like they're you believe them for a reason. Like they help you out in a whole bunch of great ways. Right? Serving a bunch of people, we're even told servant leadership, like that's the one of the highest forms of things that you can bring. And so that belief that I held of put everybody else's needs in front of my own, left unchecked, can become a limiting belief, because it's not a binary thing, right? And so what that turned into for me sometimes was very much pleasing a lot of other people, but potentially not coming back to what it is that I needed, and would create burnout, would create large mood swings up and down, even created to the point at the end where this was within the first part of my career, where, you know, we were going after the bigger houses and the bigger cars and all of those things, yet realizing that if I would have probably checked some of those beliefs earlier on, I probably would have left the job I was in a while ago to go out and actually pursue some of the dreams that I had at that time.
Well, I get goosebumps as you say that, you know, realizing that if I had really tuned in to what I was really wanting, I would have gotten off this hamster wheel much earlier.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I count myself extremely grateful that that hit me at, about age 31 or 32 or so.
Okay.
Because at least sometimes nowadays, I'll be 42 this year, see some of my peers who are starting to wrestle with some of those things. Like what is, you know, the proverbial, which ladder, which wall am I leaning this ladder against? And when I get to the top of this ladder, was this the right wall to be leaning it against? Or is maybe I should have been leaning it against a different wall, or maybe I shouldn't have had a ladder in the first place.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, exactly. Maybe having a ladder isn't even the right tool for what it is that I need to be doing.
Absolutely.
Do I really need to just make it this up and down exercise? Or is there something more to explore and really dive into, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I love that. I think that's incredibly powerful. And it is indeed. Yeah, so just to normalize it, you know, I think we as human beings, we all have limiting beliefs, right? We all carry them. This is not just something that happens to a few people. This isn't something that is unusual or even unnatural, right? I mean, that's a view that I hold. I want to check in with you.
Absolutely. In fact, I would say beliefs, if we just take off the limiting side of it, are a necessary way for us to even function in society, right? I think one of the studies that I saw said that at any given time, our brains are trying to process 11 million bits of information. And that's all the internal things and external stimuli, et cetera. But our conscious brains can only handle 40 to 50 bits of information. And so we need heuristics, we need stories, we need biases, we need beliefs to give us a construct, right, to be able to function. And so there's an individual named Kevin Birmingham who gives this good definition, saying that beliefs are our best guess at reality. And I think when we understand that, and that they're not an absolute truth, well, then we can start to understand that these beliefs serve us, and sometimes they don't. And so sometimes they may cause us to limit maybe something that we're wanting to do. And so creating the space to be able to practice looking at those beliefs and understanding, is, do I still believe that thing? Is, I think, one of the healthiest things that we can do, not only in our personal lives, but absolutely in our professional lives.
Yeah. I love that. And that really powerful question of, is this belief still serving me? Or even, does this belief serve me now in this circumstance?
Absolutely.
Right. Because I think there's something that I've observed in my years of working with all sorts of leaders in lots of different circumstances is that what serves you in one moment can still serve you in certain moments. You don't have to let go of 100% of it, right? Just because it's not serving now doesn't mean it's always wrong.
Absolutely. And I think it's that invitation that we have of inviting ourselves or bringing it back to work, our leadership teams to step into being more conscious or aware of how those beliefs are playing out. I was working with a team recently, and there were disagreements about how to approach the upcoming labor negotiations. Mm-hmm. And, you know, all of the conversations were happening at one level, right? How much do we give them? How much do we not give them, et cetera?
Yeah, this typical and negotiation,
as
right?
Typical negotiations, right? Like, thanks, duh.
What are we willing to trade away and what are we going to stand firm on? Yeah,
absolutely. And of course, people had different points of views. And I saw an opportunity to potentially dig in maybe a little bit more to this team. And we pulled everybody into a break. We created a quick little anonymous survey and then gave it to the group. And the group then had to answer questions like, I believe people will steal if given the chance that they won't get caught. Strongly agree to strongly agree. I believe people are innately good. Strongly disagree to strongly agree. And just like some really deep ethical, and I know you studied philosophy too, but I some of those deep questions.
Yeah.
And what we saw, again, presenting anonymously, is of course people were all over the board in terms of their beliefs about the trustworthiness of people, if they thought people were good or lazy, and all of these things.
Yeah.
And it was an aha moment for that group, because what we said is, we're not here to try to say, well, this side of the spectrum is right or this side of the spectrum is wrong. What we're here to do is just illuminate how these deep-seated beliefs that have probably been formed over 30, 40, 50 years for some of those people are informing this current topic of conversation that we're having today about how much do we give the union or not give the union? How strict should we be on some of their policies or not? And so illuminating that those beliefs power some of their actions allowed the group to then talk about, okay, are any of these beliefs limiting the possibility that we have to engage in this?
Wow, that sounds like a really powerful and transformative moment.
It definitely lit up a number of people. And I think it's step one, right? In terms of being able to shape new realities, is at least being able to see that there is something there, seeing some of potentially your unconscious patterns that you have. There's still the decision if you want to shed any of those things. And so it was definitely step one in being able to see some of those patterns.
Yeah. Yeah. Bringing into the conscious awareness. Oh yeah. This is the underlying assumption that I'm carrying and bringing to this table.
Yeah. You know, it comes back to some of the story I was sharing before. At the end of my tenure at that first organization, we had built a beautiful big house and we were pregnant with our fourth child. And I started to see that I had some of these beliefs that was success. Mm-hmm. And yet there was this inquietude, this sort of like unease that was inside of me of wanting to do something different. And it wasn't until I could start to check and say, wait a second, do I actually believe like those are the markers of success?
Yeah.
That allowed us to then, this is why I have such a wonderful wife, put our house up for sale while we were pregnant with that fourth kid, so I could leave that job and go into a startup company and really start on a completely different trajectory. But it wasn't until I became more aware and had a lot of hard, long nights about those beliefs that were potentially limiting me from following a different dream or a different vision, that I was able to actually make some progress on it.
Yeah. And what a massively transformative moment for you and your entire family, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. And that, but it's funny. I get sort of goosebumps thinking about how fundamentally that not only impacted you and what was possible for you, but also that entire system of your family, and how that, you know, oftentimes it feels like, oh, those are things that happen in our personal lives. We go out and we take big, bold choices. We decide to change career or go and work in a different company, or, you know, go and do a study that we've always wanted to do. And that's great. That's a personal choice. But that kind of transformation is possible inside of organizations as well, isn't it?
It absolutely is. And I would say it's essential. And oftentimes it does start with a leader or senior leader having some sort of personal, you know, challenge or struggle with some of those things. We meet so many leaders right now who are feeling burnout, and not just leaders, but individuals across the organization who are feeling burnout or feeling that they have to seek fulfillment maybe in places outside of work. And yet, you know, I think that work can be a great vehicle for purpose and fulfillment and those sorts of things, and being able to be of service to other people. But it really takes someone saying, does it have to be this way, right? To be able to work through and shift things differently. There's a story that I love from the early days of Patagonia and Yvon Chouinard. And really, before they were even named Patagonia, they were Chouinard Climbing Equipment. And they had grown their climbing equipment business up into one of the largest in North America. And at that same time, though, Yvon and his partners realized that the same exact things that they were bringing, right, hammers and pitons of pounding into rock faces, mm-hmm. was damaging the exact rock faces and everything that they loved to go climb on. And so they had a ridiculously successful business that in the short term was everything that they had wanted, and in the long term was likely damaging one of the things they cared the most about. And conventional wisdom would say, you know, okay, well, short term, you can fix it. Or maybe you can make enough money and then start conservation efforts to be able to fix those sorts of things. But what I love is they made a really difficult decision at that time to close down that most profitable part of their business, to say, we can't do this anymore because it impacts something else. There's a deeper belief that we hold. That if we just hold on to this limiting belief of grow at any cost or business first, like, we're not actually going to be true to our potential or what we're wanting to do here. Yeah. So it's very possible in business for organizations to say, where are we going? But then taking a big step back and saying, why? And to your point, has that shifted at all? Because it's okay to be able to keep coming back and revisiting what are the beliefs that are powering the actions that we have.
Yeah. Well, and also looking at that bigger picture impact, right? Mm-hmm. What we're doing this, it's exciting, it feels fulfilling, how wonderful we're able to, you know, at scale provide this equipment so they can go, you know, more and more people in the world can do this exciting thing of summiting this cliff face. Wow. But wait, we're having an unintended impact, right? There's something happening that, oh, we need to tune into, and we need to make some choices about.
Yeah. Right? And I think that's the point of daring to be naive, is it may not be really popular. In fact, it may be seen in that case, overly optimistic or idealistic, right? Like, oh, we're going to stop doing this really profitable business because we care about the environment. And yet the deeper message that I hope people take away from it is this big aha that I had about the word naivete. And that was, the origin of the word nativus just means natural or genuine or authentic. Yeah. That thing which you had from the start. In fact, the Merriam-Webster word of the year for last year was authentic. And so daring to be naive is also a call to dare to be authentic. And I think there's something beautiful about that, that when we're able to stop and say, do I still believe that? Is this truly what is authentic or genuine to me? Even if it might be rejected by the mainstream, that might actually be the thing we most need to be called into at this moment.
And
it might seem a little naive to people. And so I hope that people can feel emboldened by hopefully conversations or other episodes like on your podcast, Lisa, to hear that there are different ways to be able to go about life or go about work that have a bent towards the good.
Yeah, there isn't just this one way. And what I love about it as well is that there is sort of this, you know, there's this limiting belief that I think we have about, you know, even just a simple word like naivete. It's somehow been acculturated that it's this negative, bad thing. But actually, if you go back to its source, if you go back to its root, there's this beautiful, natural, authentic, real, take, you know, shedding all of those layers, letting go of that. And how beautiful that, you know, sort of that in itself is a letting go of a limiting belief, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it is kind of an unlearning, because as we talked about before, I think you start with that, right? That's typically what people say, right? You started with that curiosity. You gain a bunch of great knowledge. Now, maybe in that third stage of life, you're transitioning it into wisdom, which is hopefully a callback to some of that curiosity and being okay with not knowing. And you've gained, you know, hopefully a good tool in your brain that is also able to help bring some rational thinking, right? So that you can maybe be going through life and saying, is this reasonable? And is it intuitively true, right? Like, how can you have both of those things on the scale as you're approaching your personal and professional decisions?
Yeah. And I love that integration between, does it resonate on that intuitive level? And you know, does it check out rationally? Right. So this isn't just an invitation to jump into the unknowing and, you know, follow whatever gut feeling you have about anything. Right.
Yes. Yeah.
It's that integrated place.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, I'm curious to hear, what are some of the limiting beliefs that you're working on, you know, kind of resolving or bringing back to their natural state, stripping away some of the pieces that are no longer serving?
Yeah, I'll give you a couple personal and maybe a couple professional. Personally, it's a limiting belief of don't be selfish. We talked about that before. Yeah. And I think that also translates into the professional. I think there's been maybe a tainted view on servant leadership, or at least maybe the understanding that I see it in the people around me, that for some people, the idea of putting your own needs and wants on the back burner forever is not a long-term solution. And right. So that's, and that's definitely one that I continue to work through. A belief of I am enough and this moment is enough. Again, as someone who grew up in a way that had me constantly seeking the approval of others and needing to achieve in my mind to be able to seen as valuable, that idea of I and this is enough right now is absolutely a limiting belief that I continue to work through. And I think, you know, in the workplace, what I see is that the growth and prosperity and thriving of employees can be not the means, but can be the end to business. That is a big belief, right? That I think that we can continue to work through. I see so many organizations say people first, but it's always a but profits too. And when you do an even over, it's like profits even over people. But there's an interesting thing to explore of what happens when you truly do say people, even over profits. It's not neither either. It can be both, but the even over there is the people side of it. So there's a belief there that as I think about the growth of our business, as I work with other big companies and think about their growth, just helping them challenge, what is it they believe about people? And are they truly just resources or just assets or just some other non-humanizing word?
Yeah. And there's a lot of debate in a lot of organizations right now about how does this balance work, right? If we are creating this people first culture, but what are the real consequences of that, and how do we balance it in this bigger picture? What does that look like? And I like this idea that, you bring to the fore of these two ideas do not have to compete with one another, right? This is not a zero sum space. What if it is the yes and? What if it is yes, people, and yes, the money to keep the lights on is also important, but what if we embrace this idea that really good people who are doing really good work and who are actually enjoying their work, that is going to bring us the profit, right?
100%.
These things do not have to compete with one another.
I agree. And I think there are plenty of case studies out there showing the ROI on that. But the strange thing, when I look at that though, and look at those things, those organizations who do it because of only the ROI never truly get there. There is a faith or a naivete that is saying, like, I am going to believe that this works of taking care of people, who take care of customers, who take care of the business. And it has to be for those reasons that it ultimately then happens.
And there are lots of examples of that as well, having been really good recipes for success, that belief in if I take care of my people. I think it's even a quote from Richard Branson, right? If I take care of my employees will take care of my customers, right? And that will take care of this whole big profit thing that we're constantly trying to, hack away at, right?
Well said.
Well, I want to name it because it's in the space, and I think there's something so exciting. I don't want to start a whole new arc, so maybe it's an entirely different episode that we record together. Who knows? But just how true this idea of servant leadership, yes, it is important as an idea, but it not being the end all and be all, that you cannot be a leader and you cannot be effective if it is always at the cost of you, at the cost of what you need, at the cost of what you believe in. And I have a belief, so I see you nodding your head. I have a belief that, I think as we progress, in our humanity, servant leadership, it does serve a purpose, but it was more of sort of a recalibration, right? As we came out of sort of the 1980s of, yes, investor, advantage, shareholder return, all of these things, because of course that was the backlash of investors and shareholders having been taken for a ride and having been lied to. So no, now we need to do everything, for the investors and do that at any cost. Then servant leadership comes in going, no, it isn't just about that. We need to also think about the people. But again, it's, an over calibration into one thing over another.
I think this is a whole another great episode,
Yeah.
because I see, to your point, like the pendulum of time is always swinging back and forth, and we're in this swing, if you will, of a move towards that pluralism, right? And the collective individuals, and there will be a coming back from that. And so I seeing where we're at in this trajectory is intriguing. And so specifically though, to your point, we are in a spot where I think people are trying to understand what is the right balance. A term that I heard recently that I liked was regenerative leadership. And the only way you can help regenerate others is if you're also thinking about the regeneration of yourself. And what I like about it too is it makes it feel like it's more of a cycle or a system versus servant. Oftentimes just feels like it's a one way type of relationship.
Yeah, this very binary space, and it isn't that. It's again something that doesn't need to compete against other things. It's how can you help integrate and bring those things together. what is one thing, you know, you have a great amount of experience and wisdom, and we've gone to a lot of different corners of this space of beliefs. What is one thing that you hope people will be able to take away from this conversation today and start either experimenting or maybe even integrating into their day-to-day lives?
Yep. One of the most practical tools that we give people to at least see where some of their limiting beliefs are ends up being a marriage of the work that we've done in the innovation space, which is all about hypotheses and experiments and everything, and this field of culture and human potential. And it's the idea of saying, can you name a belief that you have? Let's not even call it a limiting belief. And can you at least walk through a few questions, right? Where did you learn that belief? Is it true? Which we talked about those things before. And that may even be a kind of a rhetorical question since we already know it's a belief. But then what do you gain and what do you lose by holding that belief? And I think when people pause and they start to integrate that as a practice, it helps them start to at least take a step back and try to create a little bit more objectivity to that belief. And you may even then be able to create a hypothesis to, okay, what would this practice, what would this behavior look like if I didn't believe that? And so then you can put that into practice. So there's a lot of little heuristics and tools that we help people with to help them at least get started on the identification of some of those limiting beliefs. And I think just being aware that, similar to the example I used about that team talking about the labor negotiations, if there's a practice or a topic or something that you're working on and you're saying, we have to do this, or I can't do this because, we have to do this because, look at some of those becauses and see if any of those illuminate something you could take through those four questions that I just shared.
Yeah. Those are powerful and really useful questions. And what I love about it is it puts everyone in the space of choice. Right? Do I want to continue to believe in this? Do I want to continue paying the cost, the price of this? Or is there something else that's possible?
Yeah. It also gives compassion to yourself, because the question of what do I gain and what do I lose is a fair acknowledgement. Too often we're trying to convince ourselves or say that was wrong, now we're moving to something better. Whatever you move to is also going to have things you gain and things you lose. And so it just creates a little bit more of that practice to yourself of maybe a little bit of grace and understanding.
That word grace, beautiful. Yeah. Well, thank you so much, Joshua, for sharing your insights, your beliefs, your experiences. Really appreciate it. And thank you for bringing it in such a really human and tangible way.
Thank you, Lisa. It's been great to spend time with you and be in the space with you. I appreciate it.
Yeah. Thank you. And thank you, everyone out there, for listening. If you appreciated this episode, please share it. As you know, subscribing so that you know when we have new episodes that come out is something that is really useful and helpful. And you never know, the next episode might bring exactly what it is that you need to hear right now. In the meantime, we'd love to hear your feedback, your guest suggestions, your topic requests. We want to know what's on your mind in the workplace. Let us know. Until next time, bye-bye.